and it's 93.7 WEEI. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937. And if you stayed up and watched that game, man, it was worth it. That was unbelievable. There's somebody on the text that was saying that said basketball is a dead sport. That game was awful. Dude, what are you talking about? First of all, the game three got like 25 million viewers, which is NFL numbers.
The highest viewership since 1998.
Yeah, this has been it truly has been fantastic. The finals have been great because it's the future face of the NBA versus, you know, New York. It's a team that hasn't done this and hasn't been to the finals in what, 53 years?
Dude, I'll tell you, man, I think their point guard for the Knicks, I think Brunson makes that team likable.
I love him.
Makes you want to root for that team. I mean, he's just a killer. He seems like a class guy.
What do you think about Wemby? Because I turned on him a bit in the game, just watching emotionally. Just, I know you said it doesn't matter, trash talk, whatever. But like, to me, I'm not rooting for the Knicks, but that action made me sort of like, all right, maybe I don't hate the Knicks. And Brunson's part of that too.
Yeah.
Because he is likable.
Yeah. I think, you know what? It's interesting. He's got edge. He's got maybe a little bit more edge than maybe he should at this point. But I at least like a superstar that it has got a little bit of edge to him, man.
Yeah. You know?
And that's what Wemby does.
And then he got an egg thrown at him coming out of the uncalled for.
Knicks fans are. They're awful. Like, they're just awful. And now, the one thing, how funny is it that the thing that I hate everything about the Knicks except for the players? Like, the players are awesome. I hate the coach.
OG Anunoby. How can you not respect him?
I love OG Anunoby. And you know what? After the game, after every one of those games, you don't see any one of them spiking the football. They are all business. Nobody's pumping their fists. Nobody's even smiling.
That's true.
Like, it looks like, I mean, you take a look at Jalen Brunson. It looks like someone kicked his puppy after every game. He's like, man, we're not done.
Do we have this conversation? Who do you take, Brunson or Jalen Brown?
We did. We said if you pick, if you had to pick between Jalen Brown, Jason Tatum, or Jalen Brunson in one game, who would you pick? Jalen Brunson.
It's not even close. I didn't even know for one game.
It's a tougher argument. Oh, really? So you would take Brunson full season? Right,
I'm on the because you know what? Because he makes everyone else better, and I don't know if Jalen Brown or Jason Tatum makes everyone else better.
Oh, you take him over Tatum? You would take Brunson?
I would take him over Tatum.
First pick.
Yes.
But see, defensively, all around player, I don't think he's as impactful as Tatum, and he's had some high volume shot games where he's not been very efficient. I mean, last night he was on fire. Mm-hmm. I mean, other than the last shot, which he missed, but OG cleaned up. It's just a perfect mix of players that makes him look really good.
He shows up when he has to at the very end.
No doubt about that.
Way more than what the Jays do. So
I still would take Tatum over Brunson, but I would take Brunson over Jalen.
I just think Brunson is that style of player. I've said it before. He's the give me the damn ball guy. I got this. Get on my back. Here we go. And Tatum can do that as well, but it seems like Brunson is way more consistent in being that guy. Now, speaking of the two Jays, there has been a little bit of silence for a while on the whole Giannis deal, and there was a story that came out that the Milwaukee Bucks could have possibly been waiting to see how the finals ended in case the Knicks did not win. There might have been some sort of hope that a trade could be made with the New York Knicks, whether Giannis would go there or they would just use the Knicks for leverage. And then there was all this talk about Miami. But since then, yesterday, I believe this was just last night, Bill Simmons.
Yes, late night.
Who, say what you will about Bill Simmons, the guy's pretty close to the team. He has sources.
He's a member of the team. He was in the documentary. He was speaking. He and his father were like executive owners.
He is somebody who, when he says something about what's going on behind the scenes with the Celtics, you give it a little more credit than you would just some, you know, normal slap gig. You know, so here we go. Let's take a listen to what he has to say.
I thought Boston was out of this. I know Boston was out of this. And I was wondering if they were playing possum or not. I think they were playing a little possum. I think they're in on Giannis. So I'm not recanting what I said before. I don't really know the reasons for it. Maybe they felt like Miami's offer is an offer they could beat. Maybe they want to drive the price of Miami's offer up and they don't actually have interest in him. But as I said over and over again, Giannis is pushing for Miami or Boston. Those are the two locations and really wants to end up in Boston because it would have the best chance to win a title. And I think Boston is not ruling out the idea. And in general, I'm prepared for anything of Boston now. I wonder if they're going to use this opportunity with the assets they have, with the $27 million trade exception, to completely change what this team looks like. So who knows? They might not do anything, but I thought they were sitting out this Giannis thing, and I no longer think that.
All right.
That is a hum 180 right there, man.
Does it change the way you think about it?
A little bit.
Kalshi has really reacted to this rumor, and I don't know if it's just to that rumor or what else is out there, because Boston has gone up almost 10%. They were originally, or I think before that report came out, they were sitting around 9%, and I've seen it hit as high as 20 today. So that has gone up. By the way, Miami at 70%. Yeah. They got Miami at 70% right now.
That's where he's going.
Now, Jaylen Brown has hit social media a few hours ago.
Yep.
With a cryptic meme. You didn't just read this, did you?
No.
This
is interesting, though. Yeah. But this is, once again, and this came out today, right?
Yeah,
this,
four hours ago.
Yeah.
At FCHWPO on Twitter, the neighbor's rice always smells better. So
what's he saying there? What's he saying there?
Got to read
grass
into that.
Grass is always greener on the other side. You think Giannis is going to bring you a chip? Get out of here. Mm-hmm.
That's what it sounds like to me. That's what it sounds like to me.
Does Jaylen not want to be traded? Does he not want to go run his own team?
He doesn't have control of where, though. That's the problem. And I saw an NBA reporter, Evan Sidery, not familiar with his work, but he put out a proposed trade to Portland, which would send Jaylen to Portland, Giannis to Boston, and then the Bucks would get two young players, Scoot Henderson and Shaden Sharp, plus Jeremy Grant, plus the 27th pick, plus pick swaps, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But if you're Jaylen, do you want to go to Portland?
You want to be the man. Run your own show.
That's right.
You're the man. You are the man,
Jaylen. Yeah, but you're in Portland.
Maybe nice.
He is in Asia right now, and they do have a lot of rice there, so it could have had something to do with his trip.
Listen, who knows? All I know is that the timing on this seemed to be somewhat of a coincidence after that Bill Simmons report. And that Bill Simmons report doesn't seem like it's just he's throwing something out there. It sounds like he knows something.
Mm-hmm.
And is this a better team? Is this a better team without Jaylen Brown and with Giannis here? Are you guys are you happy with this potential shift?
Here's the thing. I don't think you can say it's a better team than the one that won the title. But now I am afraid of dysfunction for next year if they don't make a change. I don't think Tatum and Brown can now coexist in year 11 after everything we just had with favorite season. And I think they're forced to consider all options, including Giannis. They might not have been that intrigued by it right away, mm-hmm. but Ted, I think they're changing their mind.
I would love for them. I think at this point, just change it for change, sake of change. I don't know if they'd be better, but I don't know. I just think what they have here is not working with Jaylen Brown. And then just like you said, after kind of what he said after these games, I'm just done with him. Man, I thought I've been done with him three times before this in the previous years, but now I'm really done.
Yeah.
I hope they see it. You know, it feels risky trading away a guy that's, you know, younger than Giannis and maybe he's a better shooter than Giannis, but I don't know. I just think they need to change it up, and I think Giannis, just a different energy, would benefit this team.
So is this a team with Giannis that is as good as what you're seeing in the finals right now?
Boy, that's a tougher one
to say.
Yeah,
I think the supporting cast is not where it needs to be yet.
Mm-mm,
you know,
correct.
I mean,
you'd have to do something else too.
Yeah. OG, Big Cat, those are I mean, those are good, solid players, man. You know, I mean, Josh Hart's a good player.
Although, God, he get bailed out for missing that bunny?
Yes,
big time.
Yes, he did.
You know, Mikal Bridges, a hell of a player. So I think they have a better overall team.
I did realize Mikal Bridges was that awful at free throws.
What's happened to him? He's been a mystery in this series.
What is it, 41% or something like that from the free
Robinson?
Throw line? I'm sorry, Mitchell Robinson. Yeah, it's not Mikal Bridges. That's right. Mitchell Robinson, that's who it was last night. They showed that stat up there, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, Hakovich. Yeah.
I knew he was bad, but I think he's the worst of all time.
That's why Scal threw his name out as a Celtics, piece. After Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah, Mitchell Robinson.
But do you want him? I don't trust him as the difference
series. No, not at all. It does shock me that they are not trying to find – no, I don't know if they're not, but it does shock me that Bill Simmons put that out there, because I was convinced that they were dead set on trying to find somebody on the cheap, keep the Jays together, and maybe even go after Rob Williams, bring the Time Lord back. Mm-hmm. And see, I mean, even Scal said with the medical team what they are, and he likes the medical team with the Celtics, that they'd be able to keep him healthy. And when you have a healthy Rob Williams, that could be all the difference. I think that that's garbage. I think you truly have to you got to do better than that. If you want a rim protector, mm-hmm. you got to do better than bringing back more recycled parts. And I like Rob Williams. I mean, he seems like a good dude, but he is not the answer to what you're seeing in the finals right now.
I mean, you can't just trust him. And this could just be them driving the price up for the Heat, which would not be dumb either. Mm-hmm. I mean, good. I mean, at least throw your hat in the ring to make them pay more. Mm-hmm. But it's got, I mean, I'm excited about it. And I think it could happen soon, like in the next 3 or 4 days. Because I don't think they're going to wait all the way until draft night to make the deal, right?
Which is what, 23rd?
23rd.
So about 2 weeks away?
Yeah. You could really, by the end of the week, you could see this happen one way or the other.
So I mean, Jalen comes home from China and he's right? goes straight to Portland?
Yep. Pack your bags.
You think he would be mad? Like
Jalen?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Of course. He would hold a grudge for the rest of his career.
But don't you think in his heart of hearts, he wants to be the guy? He would be the guy.
Not in Portland. Not in Portland.
So where does he want to be the guy?
He wants to be the guy in Atlanta.
In Atlanta?
Yeah, because that's his hometown. He wants to be the guy there. He wants to be the guy in a city that is a major market, which Atlanta is. He does not want to be, and like Portland's kind of Siberia in the NBA right now.
He'd be back with Time Lord.
Yikes! I don't. Atlanta's not, you know, some basketball capital either.
It's not, but it's also a place that athletes want to live. Like athletes want to live in Atlanta. They do, especially if you're in the NBA. Like it's a desirable place to live. And listen, you get to hang out with Jamie Gertz from the Lost Boys. which, by the way, that was a mind-blowing thing when during the draft that one time it was like, why is star from the Lost Boys the one who's gotten the lottery balls here? I didn't realize she'd married the owner. How about that? She married up. Yes, she did. All right. 617-779-7937. We'll take your calls next. And on top of that, we got to get to what happened after the game yesterday. After that game,
was it the C word?
What's that?
Was it chaos?
Oh, yeah. Chaos, my friend. Let's get to that right after this. Oh, yeah. This is Ted's pick, right? You know this boogie is for real. I just can't not think of Napoleon Dynamite when I hear this. It is Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson here on 93.7 WEEI, and we are in the Ketchus Law Injury Attorney Studio. No fee unless you win. And you can give us a call at 617-779-7937. Also, listen to us on the Odyssey app. You press that little follow button, and we get launched right to your phone. Speaking of launching, you can launch us a take grenade right there. Press the little microphone button in the 5 o'clock hour. We play those back. Coming up at 4 o'clock, Tom E. Curran. He's going to be calling in, giving us a report from camp. It's going to be interesting. I think A.J. Brown's going to speak here in just a few. Mm-hmm. On top of that, we got Mike Vrabel with some interesting comments about especially the edge rushers and the critique that the team has had lately on that that position. But first, I want to get to something. So last night after the game, and we saw what happened after game 3 when the Knicks lost. And what you saw was a bunch of people in Spurs jerseys running down the street, getting tackled, getting beat up. There was one guy who was on his side. He got his head jumped on. I mean, I've never seen anything like that as big as it was after a sporting event.
Yep.
Especially like, I mean, something, that was just like one loss. That was game 3, and the city went absolutely insane. So yesterday, the Knicks win, and you're expecting things to be, you know, a lot better, and yet there was still a lot of insanity on the streets. Have you seen the video of the bus of the Spurs trying to leave the venue? A ton of people were running up and they're throwing trash cans at it, but they opened up the bottom of it where the luggage was and were pulling stuff out of the bottom. Thank goodness the luggage wasn't in there. And then when the Spurs arrived at their hotel, there's a crowd of people. Just, I mean, Stiz, how many people were probably there? Like
thousands.
It was like thousands of people screaming at the Spurs as they got out of the bus, and somebody threw eggs at Wembanyama as he was walking in.
One just precise shot, nailed like a lob right on the head.
Absolutely nailed him. Ted, you played in some hostile environments before. You played against teams like the Bills, people who truly hated you and hated the New England Patriots.
Nobody hated Ted.
Was there ever anything as hostile as that?
No food thrown at. Nope. But just a lot of yelling, a lot of screaming. But nothing was ever thrown at a player. Like I mean, an egg too. That's gonna feel good. I mean, I know it breaks, but you know that's a hard shell.
And that's after a win. Like your Knicks just came back. I mean, it was like one of the greatest comebacks in sports history.
Yeah.
And you're screaming at the team that you just humiliated. Don't you think that's enough humiliation? Now, the one thing I'll say is I didn't see anybody getting curb stomped like after game 3, but still, like I every time something like this happens, people are like, well, you know, the Celtics fans are no saints. I haven't even seen anything after game 3. Nothing ever. Nothing.
San Antonio is going to raise the stakes, and the Riverwalk's going to be jammed for Game 5. You know, it's just going to be hostile as can be.
Nick fans are going to take over, man.
Yeah,
sure. It's cheaper to go
buy the tickets. Bringing an egg
right
to the bus, like just to throw it at Wimby. Like, I'm gonna save this egg and I'm gonna hold it. And
what happens at those watch parties? You just start bringing, like, you know, household food.
I guess, man. That's wow.
This is what it sounded like when Wembanyama was getting out of the bus.
What's wrong? Oh, that's the bus. Can't believe it's them.
Oh, hang on. Stop it. This is
the bus of the Spurs.
This is when they first notice the bus, and they're picking up trash cans and throwing it at him. And it's like, I mean, you can't play the clip where Wembanyama comes out because it's F-bomb after F-bomb after F-bomb after F-bomb. What are you doing?
See, this is making me hate the Knicks team again. Just the fans alone are making me hate the team, which I've come to respect the team.
I've never experienced this before where, other than the team itself, I hate everything about the Knicks. Right. I really hate everything about the Knicks, and I hate James Dolan more than anything. Mm-hmm. I hate that coach. I'm not a big fan of the celebrity fans, but the group of people went to the freaking hotel and threw eggs at them. I mean, they're chasing it down the street. They're opening up the thing at the bottom. So it's time for another blind ranking. All right, gentlemen. And today, it's the top 10 worst fan bases in sports.
Oh, boy.
Jackson, come on in here. Ken,
yeah.
Ted, I'm going to give you a team, and you are going to blindly put them in the top 10, all right?
Okay.
Okay, so these are – now, if I miss any, I used my judgment, and I thought what I would believe were the 10 worst.
10 worst. Any sport?
Jackson, here you go.
All the four major sports?
The four major sports. I was just going to put SEC fans, but I didn't do that. All right. Blind ranking. We'll start with you, Ken.
Okay.
The Miami Heat.
Oh, yeah, they got to be on the list. Fair weather fans, not there for the start of the third quarter. Definite bandwagon.
They're bad fans because they're fair weather.
Yeah, very fair weather.
Heat culture.
I would go four. Heat or high.
All right.
Yep, that's high on the list.
Not bad. Number four. All right. And the worst fan base in sports, blind ranking. Ted, the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, for me, this is easy. It's not even close. They're number one.
Number one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, they're number one.
They did throw batteries at Santa Claus.
They
got a prison for a reason.
You know, the Super Bowl we played in 2005 down in Jacksonville, played the Eagles. Stories of Philly fans, you know, after they take a leak, they wipe their hands on the jerseys of some of the Patriots families, mm-hmm. right? So, doing that kind of stuff, just you hear that, it's like, come on, man. Philly fans are the absolute worst, in my opinion.
All right. So we have someone.
They threw batteries
one.
At Santa Claus.
Yes, they did, which is just the worst. And number one is the Eagles. You got number four, the Miami Heat. Blind ranking. Can the Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah, very high. Is three open? Yeah, three. I think Dallas is right up there.
Wow. Okay, like, we're filling up the top of the list here.
I mean, America's team nonsense.
They
and
could
just
make
perpetuating
a run
that
from
for
one.
Yeah, they could. Maybe. I'm going to leave two open for something for you, Ted.
All right, Ted, the Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh, Laker fans, please. They're soft. Soft is soft, soft, soft. I'm going to say, I think they're lower down the ladder. I don't find them to be all that compelling. I'm going to say nine.
They're not even compelling.
Even though they're total posers?
Yeah, total posers.
Okay, all right, number nine. So you've got nine right now with the Los Angeles Lakers.
There it is. Jackson's blocking you on the camera when he's not writing.
You got the Heat at four. You got the Dallas Cowboys at three. The Eagles at number one. Okay. Ken?
Yeah.
The Toronto Maple Leafs.
Again, kind of comical. Maple Leaf Square, and you got to feel bad for them a little bit. I wouldn't put them too high, but they're notable. I'd put them at seven.
Put them at seven. All right.
You would go higher.
I would go higher.
I mean, once it's 42. It's a little bit of sympathy.
Dude, they called the cops on a. Didn't they call 911 on one of the.
Oh, that was Montreal. They called it on Chara.
You got That's Montreal right. on there? Do I got Montreal?
Next one up, Montreal Canadiens.
Montreal. Number two.
two.
Number two, Montreal.
That's all they got. Wow,
this is the blind ranking.
They called the cops. They called the cops.
My wife's going to be very angry.
It's on, man. They're awful. I mean, at least things have calmed down a little bit, but you never forget that. You never forget that. All right, next up, the blind ranking 1 through 4 are taken up already. The New York Jets, Ken.
Yeah, well, Fireman Ed's kind of
poser.
Yeah, he's lovable in a certain way, but
certain way.
6. I would go 6.
Okay, we go number
middle
6.
Middle of the pack.
All right, left on the list is, I believe, Jackson. Mind moving out of the way for a second? Let me see what we got.
We got 8 and 10 still, and 5.
Okay. Ted, the New York Yankees.
Oh, I mean, this is easy, right? Number 5.
Okay, all right, for the New York Yankees.
The worst, man.
Just for Billy Crystal alone, thinking he's a member of the team.
You could put all the New York teams 1 through 5, 6.
Probably so.
Maybe.
And they're kind of taking over Fenway, too, sometimes.
All right, so we got 2 spots left, number 10 and number 8. Ken, the Kansas City Chiefs.
I respect the Chiefs fans. I would put them at 10. I mean, it's a great pregame out there. I've been to a couple games at Arrowhead. Great tailgate. Now, are they cocky? Yes. Do you hate Travis Kelce? Do you not respect Andy Reid and
but
his family?
Good.
Yes, but they're good, and I think they're a legit fan base.
All right, so those go at number
10.
I think they're that's where they deserve to be.
So the only one left is number 8, and unfortunately, that's the New York Knicks, my friend.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you got higher. Yeah. They should be absolutely higher.
Yeah, we ruined this.
So in the blind ranking of the worst fan bases in sports, it goes at number 10, the Chiefs, number 9, the Lakers, number 8, the New York Knicks, number 7, the Toronto Maple Leafs at 6, the New York Jets, number 5, the Yankees, number 4, the Heat, number 3, the Dallas Cowboys, 2, the Montreal Canadiens, and number 1, thanks to Ted, and definitely is a top 3 for me, a Philadelphia Eagles. Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Now,
that is the worst fan base in sports.
A couple others you could consider. Dodgers fans, I think, are weak.
Dodgers, they get in fights out in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, mm-hmm. would you put
Raider
any...
fans back
Raiders.
Let's
back
be a little
day.
Self-aware. Would you put any of the Boston teams or New England teams on that list?
No.
Not at all.
Best sports city
no
in the country.
Way.
The only one that I would put up there is, I think, during the Brady era, Patriots fans got a little obnoxious.
Well,
yeah.
League was
yeah,
out to get them.
I think there was a little bit of entitlement to love. I think there was a little they hate us because they ain't us that was out there.
More so of the 4, green teamers get the accusation of being the most sensitive and unwilling to criticize their team or themselves.
Yeah, but that I don't think it makes them a bad fan base.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of ones that are completely
cocky,
obnoxious
cocky
and cocky.
Yeah,
now, the Cubs could have made it. The Cubs could have been up there. The lovable losers.
What about, do you respect Bills fans? Would you put Bills fans?
I love Bills
those?
Fans.
Okay.
Love them.
It's hard to hate Bills Mafia, man.
Bills might be the best.
They might be the best
fan base in American sports.
Yeah, speaking of comebacks, were you in Houston for the 35-3 Frank Reich comeback?
No. I was watching
the game.
I was living there watching the game as a kid.
Is that anywhere near the scale of what we saw last night or of 28-3?
It was 31-7 in the fourth quarter.
Is that what it was in the fourth?
Yeah. So, yeah, it's up there.
It was like a divisional round or something.
It was.
So it wasn't to this magnitude, but that's one of those that you remember. Huge comebacks.
All right, 617-779-7937. Tommy Curran is going to be joining us very soon from Pat's Camp. What is this?
What is this? This is a banger known as Jane. I was not a Jefferson Airplane fan, but Jefferson Starship. This is a great tune.
If it's awesome. Not We Built This City, I don't want to hear it.
I know this jam. I'm with you. I like
Jane is it's a hit.
This just reminds me of my older brother's friends who used to smoke weed in the back of their Fiero.
Yeah, man.
Takes me back to a good
Ken
time.
Ken is such a radio professional, he just hit the post while defending the song.
Yes, he did.
We stay the same age.
Oh, yeah. That's what I like about these high school chicks. 93.7 WEI. It is Rich, Ken, and Ted Johnson. And you can give us a call, 617-779-7937. I do not like this tweet I just saw from Phil Perry, who is right now at Pat's camp. It is... I want to get your take on this, Ted, because this to me sounds like a very bad day for one player. It says, practice was scheduled to go until about 2:50, but ended abruptly after Braden Swinson collided with Drake May after May completed a pass to A.J. Brown. Both players on the ground momentarily. May appears to be okay. Swinson seemed to try to explain himself in the aftermath. That is a bad day for the gentleman not named Drake May, correct?
Yeah, well, that certainly is. If Drake May is hurt, it's a really bad day. If he's okay, and then it's a bullet dodge. But what happens in these practices is that the defensive lineman, edge rusher, like Swinson is, wants to show on film that if it was a real game, I would have had a sack, right? So yeah. A lot of times they beat their guy, and then if they go and they touch the quarterback, so it's on film, it shows you got a sack. And so you get guys going hard, and then they got to pull up right before they get to the quarterback. That's easier said than done. And so it's not surprising. Every now and then you will get guys running into the quarterback, and oh, my gosh. I mean, you've seen practice. Brady follows through on a pass and comes down and hits someone's helmet.
Yeah.
They get pissed off. They don't want you anywhere near, but, you know, young guys, and it's a young guy, right?
Yep.
Second-year guy, not knowing any better, trying to, you know, prove himself that, hey, I would have gotten a sack. And so not surprising things like this happen, but it sounds like they're okay.
Did you ever have a moment like that? Where,
no.
Oh, you did? Okay.
No.
By accident?
I wish. Chicken wing as I was running by, you know? But
sorry, Bill.
It's you know, no pads. You know, guys, you got to be careful, man. Yeah. You do not want to go by. That is everything. That franchise, he's the franchise, so you got to be very careful.
So, Ken, we're going to have Tommy Curran on here in a minute. But yeah. what right now is the stats for Drake?
So,
practice today?
Quick summary: Andrew Callahan of the Herald says hotly contested red zone practice. May was 10 of 20 for 7 touchdowns. Offense won early, defense late. But the biggest play by play came from Reese and Perry. A back shoulder throw from Drake to A.J. Brown. They are salivating over this. Here's Reese. Tight window connection in the low red zone.
Love it.
On this one along the left side of the end zone, May threw before Brown even turned as he was tightly covered. Oh, my. And Phil Perry says he turned, tracked it, flipped his hips, briefly turned his back to the ball, turned again, and reeled it in. The connection seems to be building.
Mm-hmm.
How does that make you feel?
I get tingly. Because what was the first line of that description of that play? The first line was, he threw it before what?
Before he was looking?
Before he was looking.
Yeah, yeah.
That's timing. That's rhythm. That's working with a guy. The fact that you can throw the ball before he's looked back or made his break shows that you've been working together. And back shoulder shows that is – The one pass that you cannot defend. You can have perfect coverage, but you cannot defend the back shoulder.
Yeah.
It just, a defender can't reach in front. So if you can throw back shoulder throws before he even makes his break, forget it. Forget it. It's going to be
14 wins.
And they
15
sucked.
Wins.
15 wins. Yeah. They sucked in the red zone last year. They were so bad. This guy is a weapon in the red zone.
How quickly did you know, Ted, that whether you were taking on a quarterback that was able to get, like, use his own head and stay out of the playbook? Because, I mean, I know there's, you know, like these first and second year guys, there's so much on their mind that the game has not slowed down for them. How long did it take for you to realize that this is a quarterback that seems to have a mastery of being able to call audibles and be able to see the field as well?
I mean, I think it takes several years to become proficient in your system. And if you're changing systems all the time, then it's harder. But it's for Drake May to get proficient in Josh McDaniels' offense, it's going to take at least another year.
Yeah,
but this will be he's taking baby steps this year. He'll go up to the line of scrimmage and he'll be able to check out of plays more than he did last year. But to get to where Tom was, it's got at least another year to 2 years before he fully can grasp what Josh is teaching him.
And that would be a year that he could be looking at a record-breaking extension. As a matter of fact, this was the weirdest news. I wasn't expecting this. Yesterday, the Chiefs announced that there was a new contract extension that was made with Patrick Mahomes that will bring his total contract value of up to $504 million and an average salary of $64 million a year. Were any of you surprised that they did this when they did this?
Only because it's a long time since he signed the last one, which was like a 10-year deal.
Yeah.
So I think it was 2020. So we're 6 years in. Like, is Mahomes just going to take that for 10 years and not want to renegotiate?
Yeah.
But obviously they, you know, at some point he complained or.
Well, they didn't have to give him this bump, but they did. They just want to keep their guy happy. Like, I guess. I mean, that's pretty nice of them.
I mean, once Brock Purdy's making more than you per year, it's time to renegotiate, right?
I mean, yeah, and I don't – it was Brock Purdy's making $53 million. I don't think he wasn't making down that.
Yeah, because Mahomes was 10 years, $450.
So okay, but they had tweaked it before.
I don't think so.
Okay.
So he went from the 13th highest paid player in the NFL. I'm sorry, the 13th highest paid
quarterback
to the highest paid player in the NFL.
All right. You know, good. Hey, good. I mean, a lot of people thought when he originally signed that deal that, oh, the Chiefs are getting a great deal.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if they're getting a great deal, why are they giving them extensions when they didn't need to? So they just want to keep them happy. That's a nice organization. So my original thought was $65 million per year for Drake May. Forget it. It's going to go more than that. He's going to go up. So $70 million. Times 10, if you do a long-term deal, that's $700 million. Back to Mahomes' new extension is the first NFL contract over $500 million. Dude, Drake May's going to blow. And usually guys go up like $5 million more per year in their bumps. So I'm assuming if Patrick Mahomes is at 64, Drake May will be at 69, 70 when he finally negotiates a year from now.
Do you think he, Caleb, and Jaden Daniels are all like lockstep? Will they get the same deal? Like, will one of them argue I'm worth more than the other? That will be
fascinating, and they're all going to be waiting for the other one to sign.
Yeah.
Sports Illustrated was talking about after this Mahomes deal, the next four quarterbacks who are going to be looking for big paydays, Lamar Jackson's one of them, Baker Mayfield as well. And I mentioned Caleb Williams, but the Drake May, what they wrote about him is they said, given that there are multiple non-top 10 quarterbacks making well over $50 million per year and the market is always rising, May easily could be signing for the record salary by the time the 2027 season rolls around. You're absolutely right, Ted. Do you see the Crafts doing that? I mean,
they
this
have
is
to.
Once. I mean, I know they have to. It's just,
well, they didn't with Brady a lot of years.
Yeah, but that was, you know, when they could fool people, right? You're not going to fool. And Brady was a 6th-round draft pick who always thought he was just grateful to have a job, so he never really, you know, tightened the screws on him. Drake May is the 3rd overall pick. You can't pay me and still put together a good team. Yeah, you can.
I guess Robert did pay Drew, right? So they paid Bledsoe a hatful. He's done it before. You go way back.
That was a long time ago, man. That's a long time ago. You know, can you imagine him playing hardball with Drake May? We'd all find out about it, and we'd all call him cheap, and we'd all say he's the most important player. You got to pay him what he deserves. But don't forget, guys, the salary cap keeps going up and up and up. So the salary looks crazy for these quarterbacks, but there's enough money to pay the quarterback and still put a roster together.
I can just totally see at least an attempt by Robert Kraft to be, you know, Brady did this. It took less money. We'll put a great team around you. You know you can do it, baby. Mm-hmm. I have a weird feeling he was going to try that at least, and it's going to backfire. And this would be like, nope, you're going to pay the man his money. And I have a weird feeling that, I mean, $700 million? I mean, you could be right.
Well, here's another question. When? Is it drag out like Gonzalez, like through training camp?
They're going to make this one easy. I think they're going to make this one quick and easy.
I mean, you know what you got in Drake May. Like, you don't need to see. I mean, he's stable. He's married. He's a good family kid. I mean, he's not going to do anything to embarrass your organization. Like, the sooner, the better. Like, if you keep waiting, it just keeps going up and up and up.
Yep.
You know? Not smart.
Nope, not smart at all. 617-779-7937. Tommy Curran, he will come on with us here in just a couple of minutes. We'll find out about that collision Drake May have practiced today. Hopefully everything is all right. Also, you've got A.J. Brown speaking, Mike Vrabel as well. We'll get to all that in just a moment. That makes me laugh every time.
Arpeggio there, maybe something.
He brags about being the greatest. Like, I can play the guitar like a mother blanking right. And it's bring, bring, bring. And then he sounds like DJ Khaled on his guitar. Vroom, 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 vroom.
The DJ Khaled people were out on the text line ripping Stiz. Like, how dare you say he doesn't have a factor in his music?
Listen,
truth hurts.
Stiz, I mean, I looked it up, and DJ Khaled, you know, when they say he's a producer, I thought he was like Dr. Dre or it's like Pharrell, somebody who made the beats, but apparently that's not the case. He just kind of puts different people together, and whatever it is, he made a lot of money doing it, enough to sit and look at his phone during a Knicks game. It is 617-779-7937. Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson, and by the way, Ted, there was someone on the text line that made me laugh. They said that Mahomes' deal is going to be the worst thing the Chiefs have ever done. He doesn't look that great anymore. And you have been one of those people.
Oh, that's Ted's music.
Well, no. I mean, Ted has been one of the rare people who thinks that Mahomes' best days are behind him. Do you think that there is a chance that this whole thing could backfire on the Chiefs, giving him $64 million a year when maybe, just maybe, he's not going to be himself?
He's not going to be the guy he was 3 years ago, 4 years ago. But you still got to have Patrick Mahomes to face your franchise. He works great with Andy Reid. He's not going away. You just brought in Eric Bieniemy back after being gone for like the last 4 years. So you know what? Keeping him happy and paying him a lot of money is look, it's still a good investment because he's a star.
Yeah.
You know, and but do I think he's, you know, going to be worth that money? No, I think he's going to have to play from the pocket, and I think he loves playing outside the pocket. He absolutely loves to play outside the pocket. And you know what? If you keep doing that, Patrick, you're going to get hit. And you get an injury that you can't come back from and play at the high level. So he uses his feet and his legs to play quarterback. He's got to stop doing that if he's going to have a long career. I just don't think he's going to have a very long career.
I'll be honest. I'd be very bummed if his best days were behind him, because he's such a fun player to watch. Yeah. I mean, as much as I've been rooting against him, you know, as a Patriots fan.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the guy's given us some of the best plays of the last decade. But the one thing I do find interesting about Patrick Mahomes is I don't believe he is going to be able to pull off the double career football into broadcasting transition. Could you see him being a broadcaster?
No, gosh, no.
No, absolutely not.
No, you know, the voice is it's hard enough. But, you know, I don't think that's his style, man.
No.
But the voice would be hard to kind of, you know, dismiss. I mean, it's a hard voice to listen to.
It is a little tough. And what's wild is that, you know, as a quarterback, usually you're almost drawn into that world because you're somebody who has to be a leader of men, and you have to know how to communicate and speak. But with Patrick Mahomes, it's just, I just don't see it working.
The best, just talking about that, quarterbacks going into broadcasting, the best was Tony Romo the first year he went into it. Because there wasn't a lot of modern-day quarterbacks that were in the broadcast booth. It was a lot of the old quarterbacks, Troy Aikman, Rich Gannon, you know, guys like that, that just they didn't know today's NFL. Well, when you got Tony Romo out there telling you the plays and this is what you look for, that was awesome. But then he's kind of gotten just really deteriorated. And then Brady doesn't say anything. And I'd love to learn from these guys. These guys could teach us the game that the old quarterbacks couldn't. I mean, Brady doesn't do it. I hope Russell Wilson does, but I'm not expecting
Waters
much.
Okay, he's okay. More radio than anything.
Well, but
more vanilla down the middle.
The Tony Romo thing, though, because when he first went on his first year, I was like you. I was like, dude, this guy knows exactly what's going to happen. He's calling out these plays. This dude's a genius. But then I realized that the deep dark secret is they all get to watch these teams practice, and they're not supposed to say what the plays are. So Tony Romo was like, I'm going to say what the plays are. So he was pretending like he was this genius figuring out what it was when he knew what the playbook was. Right. He saw them practicing. So that was, to me, I was like, oh, okay. So you're literally just doing what you're not supposed to do.
Well, at least, I don't know. I think we learned something. I think, you know.
I mean, well, at first I thought he was a magician. I'm like, this is great. This guy knows everything about football. And then somewhere along the lines he became, like that guy. He can be so tough to listen to. I mean, listen, if you take a look at some of the best combos, I like Troy Aikman. I think Troy Aikman does a good job. Mm-hmm. He's gotten like a lot more critical and fair as the years have gone on.
But Ted's right. He's so far removed. He feels like
it's
another
true.
Era.
It's true. And I don't really know who's next in line to be great. Because who would have thought that Greg Olsen would have been as good as he was?
Dangerous? Russ Wilson?
He's going to suck. He's going to be
so bad, I think.
He is, because he's going to try too hard. Because, you know, the whole Mr. Unlimited, he just tries way too hard, whereas someone like Tom Brady, and he's going to end up being very good. He's just got to stop caring about trying to be, like, everything to everyone. Like, that whole, I've got no dog in this fight. Shut up, dude. You were the quarterback of the New England Patriots. You won 6 Super Bowls here. Just say the New England Patriots. No one's going to hate you for that.
Phillip Rivers might actually be good if he would do it and get away from the kids. Just dadgum this and doggone that. And
I'd love that.
That would be.
I'd love that. See, that's part of why I liked Romo, because he wasn't refined.
Yeah.
Romo was just kind of just talking to you like he would, and I think Phillip Rivers would be something. I like, dude. That's what made John Madden so great.
He
wasn't refined. It was just him. You know, off the top of his head, coming up with stuff, and it was great.
Rivers will be like Kevin Millar. He's kind of got that country drawl and stuff. I like Millar. Yeah. But I think he would. Is there talk about him being?
No, none. Still played, like, was it last year he came back?
Yeah.
4 years old, five years old.
So Breeze was disappointing. Matt Ryan was disappointing.
Yeah, more in the studio.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, like, what other quarterbacks have gone and been successful recently.
Todd Blackledge did well at the college, but, I mean, as far as, like, big-name NFL guys. I
think there'd be more.
Yeah, I know. You would. You would think there would be more, but.
Steve Young, but he didn't really do play-by-play. I mean, he didn't. He wasn't a color guy. He was just a studio guy.
Yeah. If you go back, there are still on YouTube a couple of clips of when Joe Montana tried his hand at it. I can't think of anybody who I was more shocked at how bad they were at it because he was such a great quarterback. Yeah. But, man, he just couldn't. He couldn't do it.
About his favorite target, Jerry Rice, terrible. Jerry Rice tried it.
I don't even remember Jerry Rice
not
doing
good,
it.
Not good.
What's wild is that Jerry Rice is one of the better interviews that I've ever done. Like at Super Bowl Media Row, by the way, he's in such good shape. He looks like he could play today. Like Jerry Rice is one of those guys that just said, I'm not quitting. I'm not going to stop working out. Mm-hmm. And he showed up and looked great. And there's some of those players just said, I'm eating. And just said, nope, I'm going to follow around Papa John here at Media Row and have myself a nice pie or two. Okay, so Mike Vrabel spoke today, and we're going to have Tommy Curran on with us in just 5 minutes. And he was talking. Which clip do you want to play first?
So the two that I thought were interesting. One was about the edge rushers. And he, the day before, said he was asked about the tight ends, and he was like, "Yeah, we need to add somebody because obviously they lost Julian Hill, and their depth is weak there." But Ted, I know you think they need some help at edge rusher, or at least you're concerned with what they got there.
I am.
Stace, I don't know if you have that clip. So this is him just talking about asked about the edge and whether they need to add somebody.
I'm curious if you feel a similar way with the edge, with Gabe and his situation and Harold Reavin.
No, I like that. It's a good group. I'm glad, you know, I'm excited about adding Dre, the development of Ponder and Swinson, you know, added Lucchetta and some young guys. And, you know, I think that, we'll continue to try to look at every position and make it stronger. But, you know, that group is done a nice job, and you know, again, we'll continue to look at it, but you know, we'll have to see where we're at from a numbers wise, and then we get into training camp. But you know, just how many guys you can rep, you know, based on the practices.
I mean, that is like hard. No, we're good. We ain't adding anybody.
Yeah, it's you know, look, the outside. I mean, they're more than serviceable. They're just not elite pass rushers. That's all.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you want an elite wide receiver? Okay, there's maybe 15 of them out there. Well, there's only 15 elite edge rushers, too.
Yep.
So, but, you know, Harold Landry, 8.5 sacks last year. You know, they brought in Draymond Jones this year, 2.5 sacks in 9 games last year. You know, they're not, but they also want their outside linebackers to be more than pass rushers. And that's part of the problem is you know, they got to cover sometimes. You know, they want to, you know, and so the Patriots haven't had an elite pass rusher since, I think, Chandler Jones.
Yeah.
Where Chandler Jones, you had to double-team him. These guys, you don't have to double-team. These guys are better at running stunts, two-man games, that kind of stuff. But
Judon, for a minute there, had that.
A little bit. And, you know, I think the guy they really are pumped about is Akis, Gabe Akis, the second-round draft.
Yeah.
The second-rounder they picked up from Illinois.
But he ain't here.
He's not here. Yeah.
So that was Elijah still Ponder. Yeah. Swinson.
Yeah. I just think that is a spot they can improve. And we'll ask Tom. I'm a little bit nervous about the defense this year.
Yeah.
I am. I'm a little bit. And last year at this time, everybody thought the offense was going to suck and the defense was going to be great. Well, hell, the offense was outshined the defense last year. And I feel like that could be the same case this year.
I keep thinking about what Jeremy Fowler said to us about a week ago when he was saying that he doesn't think that the Patriots were done. A.J. Brown, that wasn't it. And that edge rusher was somebody that.
He mentioned the edge rusher, though?
He did.
Okay.
And he gave us two names. What's his name from the Giants?
Yeah. Kayvon Thibodeau.
Yep, Thibodeau. Okay. And
Josh Sweat, who they said they're not trading.
Yeah. But. Well, I mean, listen, once again, you say that when you're trying to drive up the value of somebody. Real quick, Sean from Waltham, what's happening, my man? How you doing?
Hey, how are you?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, Sean.
Hey, so you guys were talking about quarterbacks that belong in the booth. What about Matt Hasselbeck? I mean, the guy is great in terms of he was on, what's that, ESPN Countdown.
Yeah, Hasselbeck's been good.
He's very great analyst.
Yep, he's done a good job. Yeah, absolutely. And somebody mentioned Boomer Esiason. I mean, Boomer Esiason was, you know, he does a great job. He's
as far as the game calls themselves. Hoyer. Ted, we got to get Hoyer in the
business. Oh, yeah.
Hoyer needs to get in there. He's a budding star.
Yeah. I like Brian Hoyer. Yeah, I like
Brian's
him a lot.
Really good.
He's smart, and especially when he's talking about this Patriots team, because, I mean, obviously, you know, his experience with Josh McDaniels and. Yeah, Brian Hoyer's been all. How many teams has he been on? Like six?
I think 30.
More than that.
Really? More than six?
Yeah. 14 years, and I think it's like seven or eight.
Yep. And he was a starting quarterback for what? Three of them? I'm thinking when he was in Texas, he was at 2 years, maybe?
A year.
A couple years.
A year? Was it just 1 year?
Yeah.
Felt like 2 years. All right. Well, Brian Hoyer, I love that guy. I do. I think he does a great job on. It's NBC Sports Boston, right? When he shows up and does that?
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of NBC Sports Boston, Tom E. Kerr gave us all the latest, including that collision that happened today with Drake May. We'll find out just what that was, and we're not going anywhere. 2 minutes. We'll be right back with Tommy Curran.